Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
What a sloppy day to buy a house. Good morning, Mr. Rushforth.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Mr. Napolitano.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Here we go. Another beautiful weekend. Man, if you're over 6 feet, you can't see anything for the fog.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It's a little...
Right now, you know if there's any problems with the foundations, with all the rain we're going to get today and last night.
Oh, no kidding. No, yeah. And especially the fact that the ground is relatively frozen, so it's got nowhere to go.
Yeah, for sure. This is where we know what foundations are made of.
All right, listen, boys. Now, this is show number 90 of you guys out of the studio, and I did the math. One of you have saved $2,700 in breakfast.
One of us. You mean me.
Yeah, okay.
You mean me. $2,700. Think of what I could do with $2,700 not buying Frank breakfast.
I was just thinking what a nice bonus it would be for me for Christmas.
Well, you know it'd be coming for me, not Frank. That's for sure.
Oh, Paul.
Frank, do we find you at home or at work today?
No, you find me at home. Little glitch with the Zoom. Our Zoom expired because I honestly assumed we would be back in the studio. So the Zoom ended last weekend, the Zoom recurring one. So we're doing it over the phone, but hopefully in the second segment we'll be on Zoom. So
yeah,
you know, Frank, we've been doing 90 shows now. How are you late for this show? It's a freaking Zoom. Like, come on, bud.
I wasn't late. The Zoom ran out. That's all, because I was hoping we'd be in the studios buying breakfast again.
All right, here we go. Bank of Canada didn't change the rate, Frank. No big surprise there.
No big surprise there. The expectation is right now they're going to do it the second quarter of 2022. There's some that are thinking it might happen sooner. Inflation certainly a concern, but inflation also is a two-edged sword. So as much as inflation could drive interest rates up, inflation also obviously hurts a lot of the middle class Canadians and the lower class Canadians. I mean, so at that point, there's a possibility that Bank of Canada governor has to think both sides as well and say, wait a second, if I raise rates, Canadians are already struggling now. I mean, the article this week was what the average Canadian will spend at least per person $1,000 per person more this year coming on groceries. So,
yeah, I saw that.
You got a family of four or five, that's a lot of money. And now add inflation to it, interest rates possibly going up. And all of a sudden it really does, will slow down the economy tremendously. And that's the last thing they want to do.
Now, from what I've been reading from economists, when the rates do start to go up, they're going to go up fast and furious, like maybe four in a row.
Again, that's, some economists think that, others don't. I mean, there's some economists, again, I mean, I the big banks spend a lot of money on their economists, and they're all over the map. I mean, some think that the prime rate could go up 1% next year, and others think 0 to 0.25%. So, again, they're all over the map when it comes to, what's going to happen with prime rate and fixed rates. I mean, it's funny. I mean, how they talk about prime rate potentially going up 0.75% to 1%, but a lot of them are pretty steadfast in saying the fixed rates may only go up another 0.5% in 2022. So just interesting to see how different everybody's opinion is.
Well, that tells us variable, right?
Variable is definitely right now the most popular mortgage that people go for. The spread between the variable and the fixed is large enough right now, even though there's the threat of rates going up. But for customers that have been in it, even first-time home buyers, they're looking at their costs. And I was, set their expectation a little bit more, realistic. And I say to them, listen, just because your payment is this, if prime starts to go up, you have to expect if prime goes up 1%, here's what you can expect your payment to be. So make sure that you're ready for that as opposed to being surprised by it.
Paul, speaking of numbers, are we below 1,200 listings yet?
Oh, we are, Stevie. We're 1,106.
Wow.
We're really light. And 328 of those are condos. But where we're really heavy is the rental market. So there's 1,106 active listings on the market. There's 800 homes for rent. There's almost as many homes for rent as there are for sale, which is absolutely crazy. And I look at the big areas, the Orleans, the Barrhavens, the Kanatas, where most of the sales happen. In Orleans, there's even the amount of homes for sale and homes for rent. In Barrhaven, there's triple the amount of homes for rent. And in Kanata, there's 2.5 times the amount of homes for rent. So it's just crazy right now when there's no inventory in the market. We're in a huge inventory crisis right now. Our new listings by week is the lowest it's been since 2019 at the end of the year.
Wow.
Yeah, our sold properties by week had a slight drop this week, but our average sale price continues to increase, and it's led by the residential market. So it's just that I don't think I've ever seen, you know, at the start of the year, I said I've never seen a market like this. At the end of the year, I haven't seen a market like this either. Like we're in such an inventory starved market and nothing is moving. Everything is just stagnant right now, you know, but you say that we had a home sold last night that went, had eight offers on it and sold over asking, you know, but so it's hit or miss. I mean, some areas are hot and some areas are really slow, but there's just nothing for sale. I was looking this morning in an area in Orleans for somebody and there was like four homes for sale, four, like there's nothing for sale. And I don't know if it's because, it's just sort of a lag from, you know, September, October, November, or are people just taking their house off the market for Christmas? And I'd like to think that people are taking their house off the market for Christmas and looking to put it back on in early to mid January. And let's hope that we start seeing a little bit more inventory hit the market come the new year, because we need that inventory, because this market, if we don't get that inventory, we're in a very stagnant market. It's going to continue to be stagnant through 2022 if we don't get homes.
Are there still buyers out there?
There is. I think a lot of buyers I think they're still punch drunk. I think they've, you know, taken themselves out of the market because of all the multiple offers they were in. And I think some of them haven't come back. That's the problem. I mean, one thing that we're doing as a company is we're reaching out to a lot of our buyers that were punch drunk and weren't able to get into home ownership early in the year when things were going way over asking in multiple offer. And some of them are like, you know what? We're just tired. We just don't want to get involved anymore. And I'm like, well, now's the time. Problem is there's nothing to show them and there's nothing to buy. So, you know, you have a combination of buyers being punch drunk and nothing for sale. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword where you can't sell them anything, even though some of them want to come back, but they just can't. There's nothing for sale.
Man, as difficult as this market is to predict at the best of times, it's impossible now, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, like I can usually say I can predict every single month. I can predict every season. I can usually predict a year pretty well. No one predicted 2021, and if they said they did, they're wrong. But 2022, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if we're going to be in a very tough year, or if we're going to have. I mean, some people think. I personally believe that we're going to go up anywhere between 2-3, maybe a max of 4%. But one of Frank's colleagues this week put out something to a lot of his clients, a lot of realtors, he's predicting 11 to 13%.
Wow.
So it's hard to know, right? He might be right and I might be wrong, or vice versa. No one knows. You know, I would like to think that we're going to be in a modest market at, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4%, which is a great market, but it's really, really hard to know because we don't know what's happening with inventory. We're hoping that the builders are going to be able to cut some red tape and be able to get some shovels in the ground and spur the economy that way. But as of right now, I can't see a huge increase next year just because of the lack of inventory.
What about interest from your clients, Frank? Do you see them coming back?
Again, the ones that lost out, like Paul said, are back in the market and looking and hoping that, you know, this winter or this spring, but some of them had to commit to leases. So, you know, the one thing, I mean, they were looking at properties and some of them had to commit to 1-year leases. So, you know, they couldn't get back in the market right away. They had to stop the whole search and honor their lease. So we've got a whole bunch of them that were pre-approved last spring that I've reached out and said, hey, we're going to start looking again this coming spring. Hopefully the market will be a little bit better and we can buy. But, you know, between one spring to the next, unfortunately, the 5-year fixed rate is probably about 1% higher. So that's going to be the tough part. And there's still talk, whispers out there that OSFI may tighten up some of the regulations for mortgages. But, you know,
what's left to tighten up, Frank? Frank, what's left to tighten up?
Who knows? I guess maybe they could take away the 30-year amortizations for those that are refinancing. Maybe they can do that. I mean, there's a number of things on the table. I know that I've got a couple of virtual calls coming up this week with some of the federal MPs out there just to talk about what they're where they're leaning, and hopefully I'll have a little more information next week. But just to find out what's on their mind right now about some of the changes when they do their budget, their annual budget, and see what they're going to offer Canadians. But, you know, they need to stare what's really the problem head on. And basically what it is there's not enough supply. They need to figure out the supply issue. You can tighten it up all you want. At the end of the day, If there's no supply and lots of demand, prices are going to continue to go up. They need to fix the supply issue. If they can fix the supply issue, then you could see value start to moderate.
You know what's funny too, Frank, is it's not just here in Ottawa, and it's not just here in Ontario, and it's not just here in Canada. Because of my coaching program, I rub shoulders with a lot of Americans, and they're feeling the punch everywhere. I mean, I have friends in Texas, I have friends in California, friends in Boston, and they're all saying, we have no inventory. There's no inventory around the world, which is absolutely crazy. Like, everyone's feeling this pinch, and until we can fix this supply issue, and I know, at the election, that was one of the things on the platform, but, until we can fix this, we're going to be in a little bit of a flat, stagnant market until we can. And you know what's funny is, at the start of the year, I remember some of my tenants were like, I'm thinking I might be leaving, and I'm like, perfect, bye-bye. Because I could rent it for way more, and now I'm kind of like, please don't leave. Please don't leave. There's so many rentals on the market. I don't want to be sitting vacant forever. So,
now, what is the reason for that, Paul? Why so many rentals all of a sudden?
Your guess is mine. The only thing I can think of is that people wanted to get involved in this crazy increase in the average sale price. So they bought their rental properties, back in Jan, Feb, March, April, May. And because there's so many people that bought these rental properties, there's so much vacancy, So it's absolutely crazy.
That mean rental prices are coming down?
Well, they're not right now, but if we continue to have this much, this many rentals on the market, I mean, there's 102 rentals in Barrhaven alone.
Wow.
If we continue to get this many rentals on the market, there's nowhere but prices to come down.
So what are you telling investors? Hold off on buying a property to rent out for the time being?
You know what, Steve? What I'm telling investors today might be different next week.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say what I'm telling investors. I always tell investors, pick up properties. That's what you got to do. I mean, pick up as many properties as you can. I mean, you're eventually going to get it rented out. But at the same time, you have to be very cautious when reaching for the moon with your rental price.
Yeah, no kidding. 521-TALK, 521-8255. Guess who's waiting to speak with us, gentlemen?
Hot Tub Mike.
We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to the show. Nice to see the pretty boys on Zoom again. Did you shave, Paul?
I did shave. I even showered for you, Steve.
Wow, much appreciated. Much appreciated.
Yep.
Hey, listen, I have a question. I have so much money that I've saved over COVID, I have no idea what to do with it. Do you guys have any idea who I could speak to about what I can do with all this extra money?
Well, you could give it to me because I need to buy Frank breakfast in 2022. So
I was thinking maybe Mike could help me out, but I haven't heard him chirp in yet.
Absolutely. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you. We got you.
All right.
Well, Mike.
Listen,
Mike,
you guys have had so many questions. I thought I'd call with maybe a couple of answers.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's
exciting. Mike, before you came on the air, I just want to let you know that your business partner threw you under the bus and said when it comes to technology, you're a bit of a, handicapped, let's say that.
I didn't hear that. I was listening. I'm a regular listener. I didn't hear that. But listen, if you guys want to come over for a swim later on, I've got the largest pool in Ottawa, 104x44 size pool in the backyard. So if you want to come for a swim on my, what was an ice rink before, you can come for a swim this afternoon.
It's a little wet, is it?
It's a little wet out here. Yes, it is. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, at least you won't have to flood tonight.
It's 15 and sunny, though, out here in Manitoba. So come on out. Yeah, exactly.
Does the future look as bright for investing?
You know what? It's been unbelievable on the mix side. But you know what? I'm going to jump in real quick, and I want to ask Paul this question, though, before we talk about investing, because it kind of leads into it. And I think, what we're seeing in the market right now and kind of this there's no real direction. And I think it's because of uncertainty, right? People are waiting to see kind of which way things are going to go. Are they going to go up? Are they going to go down? Are we going to be in a fourth wave, a fifth wave, a sixth wave? Like, what's happening? We just don't know. And I think some of the inventory, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's been a lot of changes as well to the Airbnb side, right? So, people were snapping up properties and thinking, wow, the Airbnb, a little less travel, maybe a little less rental. So turn it into a full-time rental property. I mean, that could be some of the inventory stuff there as well. A lot of changes too. Some people not allowing Airbnbs in certain buildings and locations and whatnot. So, but my thought is, comes down to lack of direction and kind of not knowing where things are going to end up. And, you know, that takes us to the stock market, right? So, you know, we've seen in the market recently where things have been running, you know, quite heavily. And then in the past couple of weeks where, you know, a new variant was discovered, then, you know, the market pulls off a little bit and then it picks up steam again. And then, you know, something's going on with Russia or Croatia or whatever, you know, so
yeah.
World events, you know, and this uncertainty is everywhere. And you know, I hear this all the time from investors because they come to me and they say, you know, sometimes they're like, oh, you know what? Well, the market's doing so well because I'm getting like 12% or 15% on my investment or more. But that doesn't last forever. That's the challenge. And it's about knowing when the right time is to diversify. And of course, you don't want to diversify when there is a correction and now you've lost money because then you're saying, well, geez, you know, maybe I should wait a little while, you know, and hope it comes back. So it's amazing how quickly people forget about years when they've lost 5% or 6% or 7%
and
or
not
more.
So long ago.
Right. That's exactly it. And we get caught up in this. Oh, look how well my portfolio is doing. And look how well I'm picking stocks. And basically, it has nothing to do with that. Like the market's running, you know, crazy right now. And it's not for any good reason. That's the problem. That's the challenge, right?
So if you are going to diversify, you want it something with a solid track record, right?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, that's why the MIC is doing so well now, because some people are saying, you know what? Maybe there is a lot of uncertainty here. Maybe it is time to diversify and look at something with a little, you know, more stability. You know, we've obviously got a very nice track record over the past 7 years, returning, you know, north of 7%. This past year that we just finished up, August 31st, 7.26 net to investors. That's a compounding rate of annualized rate of return, which is very attractive. And that's fixed income, you know, a local investment where you can actually walk in, see the people that are actually, you know, making the investment decision and writing the mortgages. You know, there's a big difference there. And, you know, and I think that's why we're doing so well right now. And people are investing. Like this month, we closed another $1.5 million in new money coming into the MIC. And that's one of our larger months. Like typically it's around $1 million a month, but 1.5, 1.6.
Mike, you want to go over the basics for us, what people are actually investing in?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, the Advanced Mortgage Investment Corp is basically a professionally managed pool of investors' funds. So if you become an investor, you become a preferred shareholder within the fund. So whoever invests, you know, the shares that you purchase are exact same that shares that Frank purchases and I purchase, and et cetera. Not Paul.
Not Paul.
He's coming. That only took 5 minutes. 5 minutes till you guys threw me under the bus looking for my money again. Oh, my God.
But you can hear the bus coming, though, Paul.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. I have my timer on.
But yes, it's, you know, so you're basically purchasing into the pool. So as soon as you purchase, your funds are going to work for you. So there's no waiting until, you know, we find a mortgage for you or we find a, you know, something that you might be comfortable with. As soon as you purchase the shares, you're participating in the overall rate of return in the portfolio. So what we do is we do pay a monthly dividend. So you can either decide to, you know, reinvest that. So just a dividend reinvestment program, or you can take that in a cash payment if you wish. So we pay out the annualized percentage rate is 5%. That's the annualized dividend rate. So obviously multiplied by 12, that's the distribution that we pay out on a monthly basis. But if you just choose to reinvest that, then it compounds, right? So that interest that got paid and you purchase more shares now, so then you're earning interest on those additional shares. So it's a professionally managed pool. Now keep in mind as well, you know, so we sit down, we look, you know, we speak to the investors either over the phone or Zoom or sit in person, whatever people are comfortable with these days. But we always make sure that it suits your investment, you know, objectives and portfolio and risk tolerance, and, you know, so there's comfort level there and that you understand what we do. That's very important to us. But we certainly take pride in the fact that, you know, we're able to provide an incredibly sound, you know, fixed income type investment product in today's environment because it's super hard to find.
Is the money still local, Mike?
Used to invest in you know, guaranteed investment certificates. Well, they're paying next to nothing. You're not even coming close to what inflation is, right? So, so the fixed income and the mortgage investment fund. I'll tell you what, I'm super excited and blessed that, you know, I've actually created this product locally here. where I feel comfort to put my own funds and, you know, Frank's funds. And, you know, I wonder sometimes whether, you know, how, you know, such a tough decision for people to decide where to put your money these days.
Yeah.
Well, you know, come and meet with us and chat with us. Right. And I think you'll understand that's relationship first, prior to profits. And, you know, we always make sure that people are very comfortable when they invest. And I'm sorry, I've forgotten your question now.
The investment is local, right?
It is. Yeah. So, you know, almost all of our mortgages are local. The odd time we will look at a, you know, a mortgage that might, you know, sit outside the city at a lower loan to value. But yeah, it's local Ottawa real estate. You know, it's traditional standard stuff. I mean, we're not, you know, lending on raw land or, you know, multi-million dollar homes. Like it's just standard, easy to do stuff with borrowers that have very high credit scores. On average, the credit scores are over 700 Beacon score, which is very attractive. Beacon score, but they just fall outside the traditional lending guidelines for some one reason or another. And typically these mortgages, although we write them all for 1 year, they're typically shorter term in nature because the quality of borrower is so high that we just kind of help them kind of get over that hump for whatever reason. It might be separation or divorce, or maybe their you know first mortgage isn't coming up for renewal yet and they want to do some renovations or something like that.
Building a house.
Maybe it's business for self. You know, yeah, we don't do construction financing, but we, you know, we do if people are looking to buy a secondary property perhaps or something like that. So there's many different reasons why, but it's good quality mortgages and they tend to pay out quicker then.
Yeah.
So when they pay out, we get to do it again and we get to lend the money out again, generating more fees back to our portfolio and through to our investors. So
just before we go to the break, Mike, just before we go to the break, what would you tell a guy who's been sitting on the fence for like 7 years?
Yeah, Paul, listen, it's time. You know, and I get this a lot, and, you know, I'm sure Paul does have, you know, some assets sitting in the corporate name as well. So we have started to do a lot of investments for individuals that don't want to take the income personally. So they're kind of sitting on assets, you know, perhaps in a numbered company or their business account or whatever. Those are perfectly, you know, perfectly acceptable to invest in this type of product.
Yeah.
Frank and I do that as well. So,
Mike, here's what I'll do. Okay.
Yes.
What I put towards Frank's breakfast every year, I will put into the mix. So therefore, you have about $100,000 a year.
Yeah, I was going to say $100, 90 shows. Maybe you would have bought breakfast four times. So $100.
That's a great start, Paul. Listen, your business is appreciated. And yeah.
How do we get a hold of you, Mike?
You'll be one of our top investors, Paul.
How do we get a hold of you and get more information?
Listen, you can call us at 274-0055. Or advancedmic.com, just pop on the website. And we like to disclose all of our information on there. So it's all there. So a lot of investors that call us have said, listen, I've been through your website. Love what I see. There's so much information. You know, where do we start? Like, they're just ready to go already. So, but we don't cut any corners. We want to, you know, have that discussion with you to make sure it's suitable. And I think you'll find that, you know, Our clients and our investors come first, and you know, always. So,
all right,
we want to make sure that there's comfort level there. So, yeah,
you have fun. Have fun with the rink.
We're working on it. All right, thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
See you, Mikey.
Have a great weekend.
521 Talk 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth. Paul, we know how many active listings there are. It's pretty easy to find out with with MLS.
Yep.
How many active buyers are there? How many buyers would an average agent have, would you think? Would it be 2, 5?
Yeah, like an average single agent might have between, you know, 2 and 5 active buyers on the go right now.
Those are people actually looking for a house, right?
Actually looking for a house. Those are serious buyers, maybe 2 to 5, an average agent. You know, my agents are a little bit busier, so we might have, you know, it depends on the time of year, anywhere from maybe 8 to 12 on the go. You know, I have 14 agents, might have 8 to 12 on the go at any time. Sometimes in the spring market might have more. But you know, those are like serious, ready to act buyers, you know. You know, sure, we have lots of people that are saying, hey, if you ever find this, or, you know, I'm looking for a $200,000 home in the country. You know, those aren't really serious people. But, you know, active buyers, could we could have at any time, like maybe we have about 100 to 150 on the go right now with our team.
Yeah, actually, no, I think that's quite a bit.
It is quite a bit. It is quite a bit. You know, anyone who tells you they got all these thousands of active buyers is so full of baloney.
How many agents, Paul? How many agents in the city now?
There's over 3,000. There's probably about 30. I don't know the actual count, but there's probably 3,200-ish agents in the city right now.
Okay, so let's do the math. If there's
if we gave every one of them free, let's say
wait,
free.
Oh, wait. Yeah, yeah. If there's 3,200 agents and they've each got three people that they're showing homes to, how many does that come up to, Frank, Mr. Matt?
9,000, right? Give or take. Between 9,000 and 10,000. So,
that's for every agent through the entire city.
Yeah, and that seems high, too, because there's only 1,200 listings. So why is there 1,200 listings or 1,100 listings if there's that many buyers? So I think that number might be elevated in itself, probably.
Especially in this market, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You have thousands of active buyers. Well, there's only 1,100 listings on the market. Shouldn't they all be sold if you have all those buyers? You know? So, yeah. So, no, the realistic.
If you have that many buyers, you're not showing them the right house, are you?
No, you're not doing the right job, that's for sure. Yeah. No, but, you know, at this time of year, it's a little bit lower. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of people taking themselves out of the market, you know, not actively looking for a property. But, you know, come the spring market, they'll come back. And when I say spring market, our spring market starts, you know, January 10th to the 15th. Yeah. That's when our spring market starts to elevate. So, you know, get those buyers ready because let's hope there's going to be more listings on the market.
Is this market tougher on agents that are trying to sell or trying to have buyers? Or is it about the same? About the same right now?
Yeah, a bit of both. I mean, I talked to some of my agents and, you know, one of my agents, it's funny, when we were going through the first start of the year, he's like, oh my God, is the market always going to be like this? My buyers are so grumpy. And I said, no, don't worry. Your sellers will be grumpy soon, you know, and that's where we are right now. We're in a market right now where our sellers are a little bit grumpy. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're still selling lots of properties, but, you know, there's homes that are taking longer to sell. And now our sellers are kind of like getting a little bit grumpy. What's going on? Why is my house not selling? The worst thing that happens is when they're comparing their house to their neighbors or someone down the street that sold in the first half of the year. And it's like, you can't really compare it. It sold overnight. I understand, but the market was different. There was thousands and thousands of people looking for properties. We still had a bit of an inventory crisis at the start of the year, and homes were being snapped up left, right, and center. Not quite the same market. So temper your expectations and just know that your home will sell, but it might not sell overnight, and you may not get a bidding war. So, you know, there's too many people, too many sellers right now that are saying, you know what? I know we're listing at 600, but I want 700 for my home.
Of course you do.
That's not the way it works right now. The way it works right now, if your house is worth 600, your house is going to sell for 600. We're not seeing as many Toronto buyers, foreign buyers coming in and snapping up properties as much right now, which we might see again in the spring market when more inventory hits the market for sure. But right now we're not seeing it.
What's the most listings we've had over the course of the past year?
Oh, geez. I think our most was at, I mean, I'd have to go back and look, but I'm thinking.
Would have been around 2,000 now. Got close to 2,000, I think, at one point.
Would have been January, February, March in there, right?
You know what's funny you say that? I have the numbers right here. I think the most we were at was in July, we ended the month at 2,155 listings. So just over 2,000 we were listings on the market, which is crazy because if you guys remember in 2015, 16, 17, we were up to 8,000, 9,000, and 10,000 listings on the market. So we've seen a sharp decline ever since the peak of probably 2017. We've seen a sharp decline in number of listings. And I don't know why. I don't know why. Is it builders are not building like they used to build? I mean, I remember back in the day, you'd walk into a Minto sales center and they would have a release of 50 homes. Well, now you walk into a certain sales center and they have a release of 10 homes. And I just think that the builders are being caught up in the bureaucracy and the red tape crap that the government is putting them through, that they're not allowed to build like they used to build. And until they change that, we're going to be in this crisis. They have to change that.
Having said that,
the builders are also protecting themselves, right? After what they've just experienced over the last 20 months, where they were selling homes for a certain price and then the price of lumber and trades and everything else went up. So now I think what the builders are doing is we're not going to list that many. We're going to make sure that if we're going to sell these 10, they're going to be built in the next 8 months or 9 months, and we got our costs under control. So we're not going to, you know, because the second set of or phase two or phase three may not start for another year, year and a half. And I don't want to be guaranteeing those prices if the prices of my materials and labor is going to go up as well.
I don't know if you guys remember this. I'm not going to say the builder on air, but there was a builder who, before the market went crazy, sold all these properties to buyers and then the market went absolutely crazy, and they reneged on the buys.
They were a
pretty well-known builder, and they reneged on the buys because they were selling homes for, like, let's say $400,000, that by the time people were ready to move into them, they were like $700,000. So the builder reneged on these purchases. And I believe there's, I don't hold me to this, but I believe there's some lawsuits on the go from a lot of consumers who thought they were getting their great home for $400,000, knowing it's worth seven, and then they weren't even moving into it. And I can't remember what the reason they used. It was something to do with land, or I can't remember what it was, but they used some excuse to get out of these builds, which was a joke. And, you know, I don't think that builder's ever going to come back from this, for one. And two, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits on that.
Is it my imagination, or are they building more condos again? I seem to see a lot of cranes around town.
There is a lot of cranes. Drive through Toronto if you want to see cranes. I was in Toronto last weekend for hockey, and there was cranes galore. I believe I read a report that there's more cranes in Toronto than anywhere in the world. They're building condos at a feverish pitch. And you would know because your daughter's in real estate in Toronto,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah.
But you're right here in Ottawa. They're still building condos. I mean, we went through a phase where the condo market was absolutely dead. Remember when there was like 2,300 condos on the market?
Because they overbuilt, right? There were too many available.
They overbuilt, and people who were buying condos, if you remember back in those days, were losing their shirts. And I remember I'd walk in to see some sellers, and I'd be like, guys, I understand you paid $400 for this condo, but it's only worth $350 now, you know? And that took a rebound. You know, we rebounded through the pandemic with the condo market, and we're starting to see the condo market rebuild. But however, with 1,106 homes on the market, 328 of those are condos. So we're still a little bit flooded when it comes to the condo market. And we saw over the last couple of weeks, we've seen the average sale price of the condos actually dip a tiny bit, whereas the residential have increased. So we'll see. It's interesting to see what's going to happen in the first part of 2022.
That's where you're looking for first-time home buyers, Frank, condos? Most of them going for condos now?
Again, I mean, their hand is forced sometimes. If they're not in a position where they have a parent or a family member to help them, and they're just starting off, the likelihood is that they may have to look at some small condos. Some of them are even looking on the Quebec side, and only because you can get a little bit more house on the Quebec side. But it all depends on where they are. But, you know, if you've got a family member to help, and I keep preaching on the guarantor program, it's such a great program because it allows a parent to help their kid out, and they don't have to go on title. They don't actually sign on the mortgage documents as a co-signer, but as a guarantor. And it's such a good program to try and help your kids get just over that hump. Because, you know, for most of these files that I look at where the parent's a guarantor, the kids are just off. I mean, they can afford the house, they can afford the mortgage, but because the qualifying rate is 5.25%, they don't meet the criteria. So, you know, it'll just get them over the hump enough so that when their mortgage comes up for maturity, they can remove the guarantor, but it doesn't even have to wait that long. I tell a lot of guarantors, you don't have to be on for the entire 5-year term if you take a 5-year mortgage. If 2 or 3 years down the road, you know, your kid qualifies on their own, we can apply to the lender to have the guarantor removed. So, you know, it's just a great program that I don't think is utilized enough. The same thing as the Purchase Plus Improvements, another great program that's out there for somebody who wants to buy a house and the house needs some renovations. The problem is, and what we're pushing the default insurers, right now they have a 90-day window where the work's got to be done. And the issue with that is, you know, it's hard to get tradespeople in. Yeah. So sometimes the work has taken 5 months and 6 months, and therefore they don't qualify for it. So we're trying to get that fixed as well, where hopefully they'll be able to apply for the Purchase Plus Improvement program and maybe have 5 or 6 months to pay to get the work done on it.
I had to, I unfortunately had to tell my kids this week that I actually couldn't be a guarantor on their mortgage. I said, 14 years of buying Frank breakfast, I can't afford it.
Oh, stop it.
All the money you saved in the past
yes.
2 years. 521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Back with Paul Rushforth and Frank Napolitano. The phones we go, all beautiful downtown Orleans. Say hello to Connor. Hey, Connor.
Hi there. I call you guys every time I have a big life event. And so I have a rental property that I've mentioned before, and we have our primary residence. And we're halfway through converting our primary residence to a the basement to a secondary dwelling unit. And our plan was to stay in the upstairs for a couple of years and then ultimately upgrade again to a, say, a 2,000 square foot four bedroom house. That was our long term plan. However, we're expecting a baby. And
nice.
Yeah, so now there'll be three kids in the house, and I'm just questioning our plan. And I'm also, as I've looked on Realtor, I see that the houses that we're like ultimately looking to upgrade to, you know, they're not 600,000 or even 700. They're like 8 or 9. And I'm concerned that if we put it off now in a year or two, they won't be 8 or 9. They'll be a million or more. And I know Paul has said on the show to avoid selling rental properties unless you need to. But, yeah, I just kind of wanted to get some advice on, you know, maybe it would be the time. We've made a lot of money the last couple of years to cash that one out and then, you know, use it, the money to buy a new, bigger primary residence.
Yeah, well, it's all relative, right, Paul? It's all relative. I mean, if, you know, if 2 years from now, the house that's 800 now is 900, then the house you're in will should also go up 100,000. So it's all be relative. Once you're in the housing market, I think you're okay, right, Paul?
Yeah. You know, Connor, I mean, I feel like Frank and Steve and I have got to know you a little bit over the years of calling in and stuff like that. I would hate to see you get rid of an investment property because I think you have a good one there. But saying that, if you need it to afford another property, then that's what you have to do. But I mean, selling a door, any door I've ever sold, I now regret.
Connor, are you cash flow positive right now?
It's really an awesome, we have awesome tenants. They pay on time. It's cash flow positive. It's like the picture perfect rental property situation. So it would
there's
be
your answer. There's
it.
Your answer. Don't sell it.
Now let's do some math, Connor. Maybe give me a call. We can run some numbers together to determine whether you're going to be comfortable. I mean, you got to accept the fact that you're going to carry a larger mortgage on the house since you're not selling the existing one. But let's do some cash flow analysis as well to make sure that there's a comfort level there for you, that some of the cash you're getting from the existing property will easily offset all the expenses, maybe give you a little bit of extra money as your down payment for the new one, and do the math that way, I think, is the way to go.
Great idea. I think that's a great idea. I would sit down. I would definitely sit down with Frank and just, you know, hash out some numbers and see if it makes sense to sell it, or it makes sense to keep it. I feel like it makes sense to keep it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. See, if I could, I believe if I move into a new primary residence, I could still, if I qualify, could get a CMHC mortgage, right? Like, it's harder to qualify. But if I already own a house, it doesn't preclude me from using CMHC as long as it's a primary residence. Is that right?
But do you think you need CMHC, Connor? Like, you know, if you've been in the house for a few years and the house value has gone up as much as I think it has, then I think that there's equity in that existing house that we can take out to avoid CMHC altogether.
That would definitely be the ideal.
Yeah, that's the way to go, I think, right? You want to avoid the default insurer if at all possible. If you can't avoid them, that's okay. I mean, you're still better off to buy a house. But if you can, you know, if you can at least be able to take some of the equity out, cash flow positive, and be able to use that equity to avoid default insurance, that's definitely the way to go.
Okay. Well, one more question on this topic, if there's time.
Quickly.
Yeah.
So I've done almost all my mortgages and refinances with one of the major banks. And what I'm wondering is, unfortunately, if there's a cash surplus, they will not use it to help me qualify for a new place, is what I've been told. So I'm wondering if with your lenders that they will, because I would definitely need that extra income.
Yeah, I've got quite a few of the lenders that use a common sense approach. As long as we're not going through a default insurer, they'll use a common sense approach, which is if there's cash flow positive, we can use that cash towards the next one. But again, I mean, my concern would be the existing bank you're with right now. You know, if we had to get some money out, we need to figure out what the answer is as far as is there a penalty to break your existing mortgage? And if there is, then we need to find a solution to that. And again, I'm not going to switch you over to another institution just to get your business. Just like Paul is telling you, don't sell your house. I mean, that's business he's throwing away. By telling you not, but he's doing what's right for you. which is the same thing that I would do, which is give you some proper advice that gets you further ahead. So give me a call next week and be more than happy to discuss it with you, Connor.
Great advice,
guys. I
have
variable rates, so I don't care about breaking.
Yeah.
Great advice. And if I could just add one thing now, I'm not the real estate expert or the mortgage expert, but I would tell you, Connor, that if you stop making babies, you don't have to make these decisions.
Hey, you might not be the mortgage or real estate expert, but you have the best radio voice.
Oh, I take offense to that, Connor.
Thanks, Connor. Good luck.
And Frank comes in second in that one. Sorry, Paul.
Under the bus.
Wow.
Thanks, Connor.
Wow.
Now, that's funny. Birthdays, Franco.
You got some, Paul.
Go ahead, buddy.
No, I'll let you go first.
Okay. Well, my beautiful girlfriend, Petra, her mother, Eva, has her birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday, Eva. And I wanted to wish my mom and dad a happy anniversary. They had celebrated their 54th wedding anniversary on the 8th of December last week. So wow. Happy anniversary to my mom and happy birthday, Eva.
So if they awesome. Get if they get divorced next year, is that freedom 55? Frank, what you got?
Well, and my girlfriend from 38 years ago, mother-in-law, also celebrated. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Frank?
No, you know what? It's our last show with Paul of 2021. So Merry Christmas, Paul. I know you've got who's Dora's doing it next week.
Dora's doing next week, giving me a little long break, so it's going to be nice.
Yeah, and then we have the 25th, so Christmas this year, and New Year's happens to fall on a Saturday, so we're not doing shows. So we've got one more show for next week for the year, which we'll talk about the year in review maybe with Dora and maybe give some tips on what's going to happen in 2022.
And so. You can count on us talking about Paul.
Oh, for sure. Oh,
definitely.
Oh, 100%. Trust me, I'll be listening to you guys bash me. Don't worry. I hear you guys bash me.
Paul at paulrushford.com, Frank N at mortgagebrokersottawa.com. Have a great week, gentlemen.
Have a great weekend, and please support local businesses and charities, all.